If it's happening locally, we're all over it. Get your day started with the Good Morning Show, 5:30 to 9 weekdays on News Radio 1110 KFAB.
People are people, all alone. Roads full of housing, never.
Presents Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
We played a little trick on Richard C. Hoagland today, and I'll fill you in on it in just a moment because Richard wasn't even aware of it, and I hope he chuckles when he finds out what it was. In the meantime, at the top of the hour, my guest will be Stephen Quayle, stevequayle.com. We are going to be doing an update on terror, just what is happening in the world, especially how it affects all of us here at home. Condition orange, now back down to yellow. And also in the program, two-parter tonight, we're going to be talking with Stephen Quayle about reports of a possible UFO base on the Solomon Islands and giants being seen for many, many years. The After Dark newsletter, that's part of Coast to Coast, comes out every month. Great stories, an entire staff working around the clock all the time to give you the latest in paranormal news. You'll get that in the After Dark newsletter. Couple ways to order. One is toll-free, 1-888-727-5505. The other is by going to the coasttocoastam.com website. You can order it, and oh yes, forgot to tell you, you get a free CD, nominal shipping charge, that's it, a free CD, one of Art Bell's interviews with the late Father Malachi Martin on exorcisms, simply by subscribing to After Dark. 1-888-727-5505 and coasttocoastam.com. How would you like to lose some weight, 10 to 25 pounds in just 8 weeks? Well, let me tell you about CarboBlocker. It was designed to help block the fattening effects of carbohydrates. Research shows that carbohydrates found in foods like breads, potatoes, pasta, converted into sugar, and that sugar rapidly turns into fat. With excessive carb intake, your body becomes a fat-producing machine. If you'd like to fit into your very favorite pair of jeans again, feel great, and have more energy, CarboBlocker, it's for you. And as a special offer, when you order two bottles of CarboBlocker, you'll get two bottles of Appetite Blocker to help curb your appetite absolutely free. This is a no-stimulant, rapid weight loss program. A friend of mine is on his way to dropping 50 pounds with this. By calling now, you'll receive also two free books, Lose Fat Now and The Great American Low Carb Cookbook. All of that, $100 value, free as a gift. Guaranteed to work or your money back. Call now. 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. You just mentioned CarboBlocker. 1-800-557-4627. And then again, you can feel 10 years younger in just 10 weeks. How do you do that? Well, there's proof that the effects of aging can be slowed down and even reversed with HGH. That stands for human growth hormone. This is something I've been talking about for some time now, the incredible age-reversing benefits of HGH. And according to thousands of articles, these higher HGH levels can help you look and feel younger. That's why people take Ultimate HGH. It's a natural formula to help boost your body's own production of HGH. Now, maybe your goal is to help improve your energy and stamina, lose unwanted fat, diminish wrinkles, enhance your memory, build up an immune function. It's Ultimate HGH. And by ordering two bottles, you get number three for free, a great savings off of comparable products. And with that order, to give you a free book on HGH. So here's this number, 1-800-557-4627. 1-800-557-4627. That's 1-800-557-4627.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not only is today an exciting day for almost all Americans, those who love the space program, it's probably one of the greatest days in history for Richard C. Hoagland. And, of course, you know Richard C. Hoagland. He's been a very close ally of the Coast to Coast program and has been one of the Coast to Coast family members for a very long time, with art for a very long time. Richard C., past museum curator, worked with Walter Cronkite during coverage of the Apollo mission. He's been all over the place. Richard, of course, loves space, and he loves Mars. And a couple things now have happened very recently. With the Mars rover, of course, Richard C. is being kept very busy. And now with this plan to go to Mars, now the year 2030, I thought we only had Richard for about 10 years. Now we're going to have him for nearly 30. He's back on Coast to Coast tonight. Hello, Richard.
Good evening, George.
Now, I do have to tell you, we played a little trick with you today. And before you jump up and down and scream and yell, because I know we don't have a lot of time today, but we're going to get you back with Robert Zubrin for a full program ASAP, I knew that today was probably one of the most exciting, important days for you. And last Friday when you were on with me, when we were reacting to the Mars rover and what was going on there, I mentioned, you know, the president's going to speak on the 14th, and you had mentioned that he was going to announce we're going back to the moon and we're going to Mars. So I invited you back for a little blip on the program tonight to get your reaction. Today, everyone, we did not call Richard C. because I wanted
to
see how long it would take him to go ballistic. Now, I inform my producers, don't call him yet, because he knows he's going to be on. He ain't going to go anywhere. So we waited and waited and waited, and no call from Richard. And then all of a sudden, the email started. And boy, did they start. And we finally realized, all right, we better quit playing the game, because he's not going to take it much longer. So anyways, we did that. And hi, Richard.
When I see you in L.A. in about a month at that conference at the L.A. Airport Hilton...
Yes, sir.
I am going to get you.
I have a feeling...
You are not going to get away with
you
it.
You are.
This is an extraordinary day. I was listening carefully to Bob on the previous segment, and I must say I find myself in almost 100% agreement. As I said to someone this afternoon, at this rate, we're going to have to go through Chinese customs when we get to both planets.
That's true.
This is insane. And, of course, it's not really what's going on. When we have more time, like next week, I will lay out what my sources have told me is the real agenda here. There are two agendas. One is to fly this like a stealth bomber about 3 feet above the ground through the election till this president is reelected.
Mm-hmm.
Then there will be some, shall we say, mods made to this program.
Speeding up mods, perhaps?
Yes, precisely. And when you look at it, when you look at O'Keefe's briefing, which followed the president's announcement there at NASA headquarters in that famed auditorium on the sixth floor that I know so well there in Washington, you can see that this is a very broad and very deep program. What they are basically doing, what this president and Dick Cheney and the folks around him have decided to do, for reasons that, again, we can only get into next week, is to basically do with the space program what should have been done, George, 30 years ago. If you look at the amount of money we have spent on NASA since Gene Cernan left the moon at about a constant rate of $15 billion a year,
yep.
Just do the math.
And what have we accomplished?
We have not really accomplished anything.
No, we haven't.
And we've been going nowhere. So what they're finally doing is the same thing, which is to reprioritize all these diverse technology programs that NASA has been spending our money on without going anywhere. And they're going to be marshaled under this heading of exploration and discovery. And as I put in my 10 points, which I'm very grateful that you had Lex put up on the Coast website, and they're also on the Enterprise Mission website, I wrote at the urging of a friend of mine a couple nights ago, ten top reasons, you know, cribbing mercilessly from David Letterman, 10 top reasons why we should go to the moon and Mars. and those are on the Enterprise website and on Coast. And if you read them carefully, as your headline on Coast that Lex wrote actually says, it is a prescription for revolutionizing the 21st century.
Indeed.
So that it becomes a humane century. It becomes not just the American century, but a human century. It becomes the century where we grow up, the century where, even just thinking in the mainstream, we develop all kinds of stunning capabilities and access to new resources and new tools and new insights, which will transform this desperately needy planet that requires vision, it requires hope, it requires dreams, it requires a running room, and it requires understanding how to live in the solar system, not just on this one tiny ball of dust where we are increasingly killing and competing with each other over the dwindling resources. I mean, that's what the war on terror is really, really, really all about. It's the have-nots against the haves. And we're the haves, and they're the have-nots, and there's an ideology. But in fact, it's because we own the store, and they're looking in the window, and they don't see any future. This program, if pursued properly, gives the human race, not just Americans, but the human race a future, provided we do it correctly.
And the knowledge that we can also gain from that,
The knowledge gives us the future. I mean, I talk to lots of kids. Zubrin talks to lots of kids. And all of us in this public space area talk to kids, and you know, some more, some less. And the one thing you find is that kids don't think they have a future. They look at CNN, if they look at news at all. They look at television at some point. They see senseless killing. They see, you know, terror alerts going from orange to yellow to this color to that color. They go through airports. It takes them now more time in airports than their little lives have lived on this planet.
That's true.
And what kind of a destiny do they envision for themselves? What John Kennedy did over a generation ago, which certainly inspired me and inspired you and inspired art and inspired a lot of people listening to us right now, John Kennedy gave us a vision. And after we fulfilled that vision, it suddenly died, almost like it was stillborn. When he was cut down, the vision was cut down. He talked about, if you go back and look at his speech in the Congress, and I probably should put it up on Enterprise as a transcript, he talked about going to the ends of the solar system. 40 years ago, John Kennedy was talking about the need for a great new American enterprise.
And we could have, had we kept the pace
up. Of course. When I heard O'Keefe today talk about how, well, this is going to be a lot easier because we've invented all these new technologies, again, Bob is right. You basically can't use any really glitzy new technologies to go from here to the moon or from here to Mars. Unless we have nuclear propulsion, you know, you're not going to cut down the trip time to Mars. You've got available technology to go to and from the moon if and when you want to. It's the same Holman transfers, the same gravity, the same celestial mechanics. Yes, you might be able to produce oxygen on the moon, but that's going to require a lot of R&D, a lot of robotic factories. You're going to create a whole infrastructure that, frankly, is not needed if you were going to just go to Mars directly. So then the question becomes, and we can't answer it tonight, why is there this long pace? Why are we moving at a snail's pace? And as he so rightly said a few moments ago, it's going to take, under the Bush plan, twice as long to get to the moon the second time as we did starting from scratch, from knowing nothing the first time.
It was almost as if.
What's wrong with that picture?
Well, and let me tell you, just talking about the moon plan, it was almost as if we never went.
Yes. That's short. Well, but you see, that's the hidden agenda. So when we come on next week and we have time, I will lay out what some of our sources are telling us is really going on. And it's an extraordinary story, George, and a story that the American people need to hear.
All right, but you've got to be ecstatic that a president has said we're going to Mars.
Well, in the world, in the world we live in, the real world, it often takes a mainstream leader, that's why we call them leaders, to enunciate the plan. Then it takes the grassroots to basically get behind it and make it work on whatever time frame. The rate at which we go and do this depends, I think, in large measure on the enthusiasm of this audience and others for going and what we're going to find out when we get there. Let me read you a quote, which one of our I almost said Sterling members, and he really is. His name is Rick Sterling. He is an extraordinary member of the Enterprise Mission and associate. He has done tremendous research for us, and I mentioned him a couple of times on the air. He, by the way, years ago was saying that this president, and he said it in writing, was going to commit us to do this, and I must give him credit for having the perspicacity to be right. He gave me this quote from the speech this afternoon, which I find fascinating. Listen to this. Bush said, in commenting on his Lunar Mars program, "We may find resources on the Moon and Mars that will boggle the imagination and will test our limits to dream." Now, what could he have meant by that? Kind of echoes Neil Armstrong's comments at the White House a few years ago during one of the anniversary ceremonies, where he said that the truth is out there for those who can remove truth's protective layers. So there's some between-the-lines stuff going on here, and when you look at the images, when you go to the Enterprise Mission website and look at the stuff I've been sending you all evening, all Marshall on one page, these incredible, machined, artificial-looking things lying all around this lander. And we know now we have the capability when they roll off later this evening in about an hour, hour and a half.
By the way, I've got a little assignment for you.
Okay.
I have got Stephen Quayle on tonight, but during my my little between breaks at the bottom of the hour,
yes,
when the rover begins to do its thing, can we get you on for a very quick update? And I'm going to have you do the checking in on the rover.
Well, I don't know, George. I've got a very busy evening. I have the BBC calling me tonight to do live narration for them. Maybe I can squeeze you in.
You wouldn't want to get me mad, would you, Richard?
We'll see how it works out.
Sometime during the night. It will probably work out. Okay.
Anyway, if you go to Enterprise and you look at these things, I mean, come on again. What do you think of the stuff I've been showing you?
Well, let me tell you. Some of them look like rocks, as some people have said, but there are several pictures that are very uncanny, and I would like to get close-ups from the rover to look at what they are, and as you said, you'd like to get some samples if possible. I still am baffled by the picture that looks like a head of a snake. I mean, it drives me nuts, and you sent me one today of the screw on the planet, and that's a weird one, too. I mean, there was one that looks like brass knuckles.
Yep. And Mike Barra has done three-dimensional computer visualizations now, side-by-side comparisons. There's also the controversy over the color. Look, there's a bigger problem here. We're not going to get these close-ups, George, under the current plan. They announced yesterday they're going to take off for this crater, which is a 200-meter crater to the northwest, a few hundred meters away, and leave all this stuff lying there unexplored.
I thought they were going to look at a few of these.
But we don't know what the few are, and I've heard very conflicting reports on what the plan is. Now, you're an old Navy man.
Yes, I am.
When someone went down at sea, what did the captain of the ship do in the way of search and rescue?
Well, first of all, we circled and put lights out.
And what do you call that circle?
Well, I wasn't really the seaman. I was like upstairs.
Okay, a search spiral.
Uh-huh.
What you do on this mission is you make the rover lander, you know, ground zero, and you drive off in a spiral like a seashell.
Yeah.
You drive off in an Archimedean spiral, expanding the spiral as you drive from west to south to east to north. You make one or two turns around the lander, ever expanding. You take pictures around you as you go. You sample the things along the edge of your spiral without deviating too much. That gives you a sample of everything you've seen in that location. Then you head out for the crater, and then you head for those hills. Now, what we need to do is to send Steve Squire a note. Everybody out there saying, use a standard search spiral, and you can get the best of all possible worlds. All the things you want, all the things we want, and we do real science and exploration simultaneously. Here's his email. Squires, Squyres, at astro.cornell, the two L's, .edu. That's Squires at astro cornell.edu. If you want to send a fax, it's 607-255-6918. 607-255-6918. That way we get to find out close up. I mean, even if we pass these things, but we get pictures at a different angle and closer, we then can make 3D computer models. And there's no doubt from the engineering responses I've been getting from some people and from some geologists that some of the things out there are not, absolutely not rocks. There's something extraordinary, and it would be a shame, a travesty, to miss this opportunity if we can find out what they are.
And plus, don't forget now, on the 24th, Opportunity's going to plop down on
the planet. Other side of the planet, Opportunity lands, and I've had some background intelligence on that, and that certain things are kind of pacing time until we get that safely on the surface. I think this whole Bush announcement is basically marking time till the president is safely reelected.
Well, let me ask you this, because we speculated a few weeks ago, if you remember. Do you think this announcement about going back to the moon and going to Mars would have happened if this Mars trip had been unsuccessful? It appears to be pretty successful.
Absolutely not.
Okay.
They would have had to wait.
That's why they waited on the Kitty Hawk Day, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
And notice that they waited at JPL to roll the lander off tonight, until after the speech,
right,
as opposed to before the speech in case something went wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Political, political, political. This is the most intensely political White House, but at least, as Bob said, we're on our way. Now it's up to all of us who give a damn, who read those 10 points, who look at what we really can have as a 21st century worth living in, to make sure that these people do it the right way and on the right pacing.
You know, you'll be about 80 years old if we get to Mars under this current date plan.
That's another reason it's got to be done sooner.
80 years. I'm going to have 26 more years of you talking about Cydonia unless we get there.
Looks like it, George.
Oh, my God. Hey, you know, do your thing with the BBC, but we'll check back with you in an hour or so if the rover indeed successfully leaves its lander and starts to traverse out there. Let us know what's going on, okay?
You got it.
All right, Richard C. Hoagland. And like I said, we're working on getting Richard C. and Bob Zubrin on together, hopefully as early as next week, to talk about this planned trip to Mars in a more in-depth way. In a moment, Stephen Quayle, my guest, we're going to chat for about an hour about a terror update, and then also we're going to talk about reports on the Solomon Islands, those islands, of course, in the Pacific Ocean, far east off of Australia, way up that way, about the possibility of a UFO base and a long-standing report of giants on those islands.
To access the audio archives of Coast to Coast AM, log on to coasttocoastam.com.
Seattle Sutton, a registered nurse and founder of Seattle Sutton's Healthy Eating. I think the greatest asset people have in life is their good health. It's not their new car.